Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I am a writer, a coach, singer, songwriter, artist, and the author of the book, The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guest for today is Arjun Khalsa. Tune in for a conversation about Arjun's music and Ginger Beat. You'll also get to hear two songs by Arjun and Ginger Beat during the show. Welcome, Arjun.
Thank you, Margot. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you here. When I think about people who are living their music that they hear calling them, you definitely come to mind. You're a great example of it. And
cool.
Yeah, I mean, I met you through West Coast Songwriters, which I think is such a great organization, and we've met so many wonderful people through it. I got inspired to ask you to be on my show because of you being at our Songwriters Open Mic at Yet Wah restaurant.
Cool. Yeah.
On January 11th of this year. And it's just the two songs that you played that night I felt really inspired by, and I wanted to have you on the show. So, yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, I think I really appreciate what you're saying because the reason I was there and the reason I'm doing the songwriting and performing is to be inspirational, frankly. It really is to have a role in society where I'm part of moving things forward and bringing people together. So I'm delighted that it struck a chord for you.
Yeah, it definitely did. And, you know, we had first met you on the Zoom when we were doing the Zooms for Songs in Progress it started during the pandemic, and then we continued them on last year. But unfortunately, there's not enough people that like doing the Zooms. With the music, it's a little tricky because unless you use an MP3 file to a recording, it, you know, sometimes you can't hear the guitar or the keyboard with the person singing.
Right.
So, you know, it's not meant for performances, but it does.
But the cool thing is,
The
cool thing is that in that environment on Zoom, I got to share some songs that were in progress, get feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, what I've been doing is composing for an ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I picture my songs, I'm not just picturing myself singing. So in the Zoom setting, I'm either playing an MP3, I did both, share an MP3 or perform. And when I perform, it's just me and my voice and an instrument, guitar or other stringed instrument. And then get the feedback and then consider what's going to happen with that composition and for eight people. And then to get into the studio just now and to just see it all through, to go through the process of really rendering the vision into something that people can hear in the deepest and sort of most perfected way that I'm capable of at this time. So it's like a cycle, you know, going from the inception of the idea through the fruition. Very cool. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I want to start doing those again in the near future as well, and just have people, even if it's just a rough MP3 that they record, that's fine. I mean, we don't, you know, if you have a finished one, like a lot of times Deadly and I share ones that we've already recorded with Robert Berry down at Soundtech Studios. And so at that point, I'm going, I don't want to change it, Dudley. You know, and he's like wanting to change it and re-record it. But, you know, I think it's so valuable to be able to share the lyrics as a PDF so that people can see what the lyrics are and then hear the song and then give you ideas of what they liked, ideas, maybe an idea or two of what they would like to hear instead or in addition to. And then, you know, it's just a really great way. We've gotten a lot of good ideas from the people listening to our songs, and it's just fun being a part of it. I don't know, it's part of the creative process.
I think it's really, for me, I think something that really is important is to try to figure out by hearing from others whether my intention as a composer is coming through in their listening experience. So on the one hand, you know, you could say, oh, I'm writing because I've got something to express.
Mm-hmm.
In my case, I think I'm writing more to hope that other people are hearing what you want to express. Not so much that I can do it, but that it happens for them. So I remember I was playing one of the songs that we're not going to listen to today, but it's on our EP. It's called Back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. And someone gave me feedback about the second verse. The first line, it was during one of the West Coast songwriters events. And they talked about how the first line affected them. I thought, gosh, am I going to change that? Or how can I cue that up? Is there a way I'd even do an inflection differently? It's a little bit of a sensitive lyric. So I think that right now, if I sort of say it now, it would kind of, out of context, be hard for people to kind of process.
Right.
But I'm going to let you know that for me, it was like, wow, I'm amazed. He heard that. Why did he? But I'll say, the lyric is, you cringe to the crying, your child is in pieces, you're stuck at the preschool door. So I'm thinking, you're a parent and your kid's crying, you're taking him to preschool. That's what the lyric is about. It's kind of funny almost. It's a humorous song. But in the prior verse, there'd been a reference to war. And he goes, and this person says, are you saying the child's in pieces because they were, you know, they got hurt in a war? Wait, no. Separate verses. And so I think you hear someone, you hear it through their ears. And and with one of the songs that we're going to hear today, it starts with staying in the center of the lane. And that's out of context. It's a metaphor. It's out of context in the song Santiago. And a very close person in my life wrote to me and said, gee, when I first heard it, I didn't know what you were writing about. It wasn't until later. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's what's going to happen. Hopefully that's satisfying instead of being dissatisfying. It's like you might wonder, what is that? Why is he saying staying in the center of the lane? That the listener wants to hear the explanation, the story that will explain the chorus.
Well, you know, curiosity is one of my favorite things. I love curiosity. And in fact, I have 7 C's that I really, really think about all the time. And they're connection, communication, curiosity, creativity, collaboration, celebration, and contribution. And curiosity is important. I love that. And so, you know, I like it when songs make me curious. And some of the songs I remember that were popular during the 70s that I really liked didn't necessarily know what all the words were, or sometimes they didn't make sense. They weren't telling a story because they weren't country music, you know.
Right.
Country music's known for telling stories, and I think there's, you know, that's a good thing to add into some of the songs if that fits, but it's not always the case. Sometimes, like some of the songs that Dudley's written the lyrics for, Slipstream's a good example of it. It doesn't necessarily tell a story, but it's got really interesting words and music. So, you know, we don't have one sound for our songs, and so, you know, most people are going, well, but it doesn't sound like the other ones. Or who does it sound like, you know?
Yeah, when I think about some of the music that's popular music that's influenced me, some of it, so I think of, there was a percussionist years ago, Baba Olatunji, and he made this album called Drums of Passion, which was popular in the community of world music folks. And I'm writing world music today. And he had this song, Jingo, Jingo Ba. Jingo, Jingo Ba. A couple years later, Carlos Santana comes out with that on one of his first 2 albums. It's this huge hit. Jingo Bop, Bop, Go Bop, Bop. Well, there's... It means nothing, I mean, that we would know about, right? But it's just a compelling kind of pulsating rhythmic feel. And then I think of Raceland, Paul Simon, who uses American lyrics with African rhythms. So, and he knew all about Baba Olatunji. Right, that's his deal. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing this thing where he's saying, diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Like, what? She's got diamonds. Diamonds on. So his lyric creates a feeling, and it resonated with millions of people, hundreds of millions of people. And to me, what I think happens sometimes, it's the combination of a rhythmic driving sense, which has its own intention, and lyrics that have a feeling and a melody that keeps you going, and you put it together and you're sort of on this path. You're like feeling something. You don't necessarily understand what you're feeling, but you sure are feeling it. And I'm fascinated by that.
Well, you know, I am too, because I remember years ago, Dudley and I had our graphic design and photography studio on our houseboat down in Sausalito, and we had this man, we had several different interns that worked with us over the years, and this one man, though, was from Austria, and he loved music from anywhere and everywhere, and he and I would listen to different albums during while we were working, and he pointed out that it didn't matter. Well, it came up when we got some Shakira albums we were listening to, and
realizing
how much we loved the music even if we didn't know what she was saying in some of the songs, and that it was how the music made us feel. It was the feeling of it, the beat of it, like you said, the vibration of it that we really liked. And
so I'll tell you, there's another one of the musicians in the realm of using rhythm to drive the writing process, David Byrne, in his band The Talking Heads. The album of the Stop Making Sense movie just got re-released. I haven't seen it yet. So David Byrne is quite the intellectual, and he wrote a book. He wrote a book called How Music Works. It's like a tome. It's a big book. And in the book, he describes this process of how he wrote the some of the songs in Stop Making Sense. And I used that process to write one of the songs that we'll listen to in this show. So what he described, he said he had this friend, Brian Eno, who was well-known in the British music community. I think it was British, but he was a leading rock and roller guy. And Brian had collected rhythms from West Africa that he never used. So Brian Eno gives them to David Byrne, and David listens to these rhythms. And he said he listened to them for months. He just kept listening and listening. And he started chanting on top of them. And then he tried to figure out, well, what words would work? And what story could he tell with the chanting? So I did that. I just said, I'm going to do this. So I found rhythms, and I really hunted. I've been doing this for a long time, but when I was writing the song, I kind of spent I didn't spend months, but I spent weeks listening to different Afro-Cuban rhythms. And I started sort of chanting syllables on top, and I found that syllables like wah, wo, la, lu, I found that was and las, that the starting with a W or an L, and then following it with kind of a long vowel, that they work for me. And then I was thinking, well, what story do I have that would work with that rhythm and the wah? And I came out with watch and wonder, her advice, look, then act. Because I had these stories from my past.
Is that from We'll Walk Someday or the Santiago?
That's We'll Walk Someday. That is We'll Walk Someday. That's that song.
That's the one I wanted to play first. Tell us a little bit about it, and then I want to play it before we run out of time to play the songs. So I'll play that after you tell us about it.
Great. So a couple things. So I write prose in the morning when I wake up. And I use different writing exercises. Some of them are just write all words that start with the letter L. Literally, I'll do it. And it's usually 20 minutes to 30 minutes. Sometimes it's write about things in my life and everything in between, many different writing exercises. So I've been writing about people who had helped me in my life. And the first one in this song is a woman who, my high school friend's mom lost all of her limbs. They were amputated because of her severe diabetes.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was incredible. And she would be propped up in this sort of chair. And she was a counselor for me. She helped me see, you know, sort of the path for my life. So that's the first verse in the song. And then what happened, I ride my bike a lot. And I'm riding my bike. And a car comes in my direction as a squirrel is crossing the road. Mm-hmm. And the squirrel gets partially crunched by a tire in his car. It was so upsetting to me. And it didn't get killed by it, but you could hear the bone. It was horrible. This little, and I was thinking about it, crossing the road to get to the other side. We'll cross that bridge. We'll cross that road when we get there. And then it turned into, we'll walk down that road. So I put together like these rhythms, the wahs and la sounds, stories from my life of people that helped me find the path, including the woman with all of her limbs amputated, the dean of music the dean of the School of Music at the University of Oregon where I went, and some friends who helped me more recently right here in Marin County, and then a song. I was able to come up with a song. I just loved using the process that David Byrne wrote about in his book, How Music Works.
That's fascinating. Okay, well, we need to play it because I've got the other song to play too. I really want to have time for both of them. This one is just under 5 minutes, so I'm going to play that, and then we can talk about it again briefly after the song, and then we'll start talking about the next song, okay? Sound like a plan?
Great.
All right. Here's We'll Walk Someday, Arjun and Ginger Beat.
Watch and wonder, her advice, look, then act. Wait for the thunder, she said, keep your ear to the track. Wise but withered, her disease had taken all of her limbs. She helped me see where the path begins. She said, we'll walk down that road, walk down that road, walk down that road when we get there. We'll walk down that road, walk down that road, walk down that road someday. Lost in limbo, in the graveyard I played my guitar. Light through the window, he appeared, my new avatar. Leave or linger, he stayed and the hours went by. Life for the singer, he said, we're pilgrims together, we'll try. He said, we'll walk down that road, walk down that road, walk down that road when we get there. We'll walk down that road, walk down that road, walk down that road someday.
Getting crowded on the corner, bunching up to cross the street. It's a busy intersection, our paths don't really meet. So many destinations, looking to find the way. Loaded expectations, don't want to go astray. Is that sunshine pouring down, rainfall gonna drown? Take a look around and see what's meant to be. We're walking down, walking down, walking down the road. Walking down, walking down, walk down that road someday. Walking down, walking down, walking down the road. Walking down, walking down, walk down that road someday. Thank you.
My friend saw how much pain I could feel. Won't need to hurry. They told me redemption is real. Don't lose the laughter. The words of my brothers are the best. Life in a chapter. Turn the page to read the rest. They said we'll walk down that road. Walk down that road. Walk down that road when we get there. We'll walk down that road. Walk down that road. Walk down that road someday.
That song, you know, I really liked it that first time I heard it, and I liked it as much or more today, too. You know, I love the beat of it, and the idea of walk down that road someday is such an important message for us all to remember that we can't figure out our whole life from here, you know?
Right.
I mean, so many people
you know
want to have it all planned out, and
oh,
you can't,
go ahead.
You know?
Yeah. And to me, having 8 people perform this, sort of embracing the uncertainty of that is kind of part of the experience that we're talking about, you and I, right, walking down the road. Like in orchestral music, you know, everything is written out, right? So everyone has a score.
Right.
And there's a sense of predictability as a result. Even then, there's different outcomes depending on who's playing and what the conductor's indicating. And then in a lot of rock and roll, it's chords. People are kind of strumming chords.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of playing around chord structures. This song doesn't really have much in the way of chords. It's more modal. It's around the note A minor. And then there's in the bridge, there are chords in the middle. But in this case, my friend Ummer playing on the organ and Marco playing on the violin and Ted playing his bass and Dalbir, my wife, and Stan anchoring the rhythm. They have a combination of sort of being scored a bit and having a lot of expression, freedom of expression. And they come from very different backgrounds, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had a man, Ronrico, who's a salsa percussionist, come in and add some embellishment to the percussion. And then Nona Brown, who I met through West Coast Songwriters,
mm-hmm.
To help me to learn more about background vocals. And so you have her kind of bluesy gospel background, and you have Ummer's background. He's played with Bobby McFerrin, and he's played with many church groups in the Bay Area. And then Marco,
mm-hmm.
who's a gypsy jazz violinist, and Ted grew up playing salsa in Peru, and Stan, who plays with the Cuban community here, and my wife, Dalbir, who's played in India. She's played tabla in India. And to have these different sort of influences, to me, it creates that sense of, like, there is a path, and we're all on paths as musicians, and
mm-hmm.
we're playing in a way where the path, where we communicate something communally while we do our separate parts.
I love it. I don't know. I love the pictures that you have on your website, too. And people can go to gingerbeat.com to see more pictures and see some videos and hear some of the songs. And, wow, you know, I'm so glad that
cool.
West Coast Songwriters brought you into my life. I'm really glad about that.
Likewise. Thank you, Marco.
Okay.
Very cool.
You're welcome. I really appreciate you, and you do inspire me. I mean, your enthusiasm for life, I could feel how much excitement you had for the music, for the songs, and how much appreciation you have for the other people's songs, too. I love that. That's one of the things I love about the open mics for the songwriters, is that everybody just has a good time being together and sharing their own unique way of doing songs. So it's fun. Anyway, yeah. And if anybody wants to come to them, they're the second Thursday night in each month, every month, the second Thursday from 6:30 on at Yetwa Restaurant in San Rafael.
Yeah, it's like an open mic with feedback. It's where there's intentionality around the open mic. So each one of us gets up there and we do our thing as well as we can, mm-hmm. and we're humble about it and trying to learn from those that are in the room and make connections. Totally, it's great.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now the next song, we got to start talking about the next song briefly, and then I'll play it. And the next song is Santiago. So give us a little bit about that, and then I'll play the song, and we'll talk about it some more.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm amazed with Cuban music. I feel like I've heard salsa for so many years, and it's difficult for me to understand. It's been hard for me to kind of get into my bloodstream. And I started dancing salsa in 2018. I started doing this thing called salsa rueda, where you'd make a big circle. And it's almost like square dancing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very popular in certain communities in San Francisco and in Cuba and in Colombia, where I'm going in a month,
mm-hmm.
In Miami. And it's like a community way of dancing salsa, where you change partners regularly. And you have to be very attentive to the complex polyrhythms in salsa. In salsa, you don't have one person playing one rhythm and everyone follows that rhythm. It ain't,
mm-hmm.
There's no Keith Moon of The Who anchoring
uh-huh.
the beat in salsa. Literally, everyone can be playing different rhythms at the same time. And if there's four or five percussionists on stage, and you can go to the Freight and Salvage or the SF Jazz Center, and there's a lot of salsa these days, and you take a look and you'll see that people aren't playing the same rhythm, they're playing complementary rhythms. So we went to Cuba, my wife and I did, and I started playing an instrument called a tres cubano. And it has three strings, uno, dos, tres, and they're each double. So there's two, 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 there's six strings. So it's kind of like a mashup between a mandolin, which has double strings, and a guitar. And
mm-hmm.
and it's not even low to high. We have this thing with American instruments where you think, whatever's closest to your chin is the low note, whatever's closest to your toes is the high note. It's not like that with the tres. So it's complex like the music is, and there's different forms. And I really wanted to write a song that used that form, and I was learning to write the song, learning to play tres in the city of Santiago de Cuba.
Hmm.
And I was on a highway on 101 in Marin one
mm-hmm.
day, and the guy in front of me was in a truck. He was like a typical worker in San
mm-hmm.
Rafael from Latin America. And his truck was full of all this stuff, and you could see he's in front of me. The truck is yanking sideways, and he is just straining to keep the truck in the center of the lane. That's his thing. And it just felt like a really valid metaphor for the amount of effort that many of our brethren have, folks who are from our brethren and sisterin, and everybody are in
uh-huh.
from Latin America. So many of whom are living right here in San Rafael.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, and think of the effort that's taken for some of them to get up here and to live a life that works and to contribute to make sure their kids have a good future
mm-hmm.
and to sort of stay productive. They have to make a lot of money to make it work.
Right.
And I think about just that, the dedication to sort of staying in the center of the lane, not messing up, but just being productive and being just right on, and
uh-huh.
all the effort it took to get here. And I wrote a song that uses the rhythms and the melodic and harmonic styles de Cuba and lyrics about people, many of whom I've gotten a chance to get to know. I've spent time volunteering at the Canal Alliance, which is a wonderful support center in San
uh-huh.
Rafael, and just to sort of pay my homage to people who are here from Mexico, Guatemala, and otros países, other countries, and what it is for them. And so that's what the song is about.
Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to hear it again. Okay, so Santiago by Arjun and Ginger Beat, and it is just past 5 minutes, just over 5 minutes. So we'll play the song, and then we'll talk about it some more.
Center of the main, staying in the center of the main, staying in the center of the main, staying in the center of the main. Santiago sits behind the wheel, heading to another job today. Packed with tools, clank and steel, hauling trees and branches along the way. Truck keeps pulling, yanking sideways. To keep it true, he has to strain. Silent in his chair, important day at the school. His children's future, he's so aware. Quiet, yes, but he's no fool. Navigating while they're still young, going for so much gain. By noon, laugh until the dark. Maria in her Sunday blouse, fresh tortillas to smell the land. All he has seen, all he can tell. Fantasias, a life well planned. He loves to be in San Rafael, San Rafael, San Rafael, San Rafael, San Rafael, San Rafael.
Nueva vida, incluida.
margin. I love it.
Nice.
I found myself dancing in my chair.
Nice. That's great. You know, the coolest thing happened. We got invited to play on 4th Street in San Rafael at the community festival. It was the lighting of the Christmas tree.
Oh.
So it was on November 25th. They call it like the Parade of Lights or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And we got to be the band. And when we played that song, there's all these people from the Latina community. They're all out on the street, and they're like hearing it. And I wear a turban, you know, when I perform, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, here's this guy with a, you know, this white turban and a gray beard, and there's this group of musicians, some of whom, and there's people who look Latina in our band. There's black folks in the band. It's this whole mashup. And they're hearing us say, en su vida, sostenida, incluida, toda la. And they're like smiling and dancing. I'm like, oh, God, you know, life is good. Because that's the idea, is to bring people together. And they're singing and dancing and sharing in this sort of expression together. I just love that.
I love it too. And you know, that's what I love diversity. I love people being different, you know, and just seeing the pictures of your band makes me want to come and hear, well, that plus hearing the songs makes me want to come
because
you know, I love the idea of connecting people instead of disconnecting them, you know? I mean,
we need
more connection and communication in our world. And yeah.
You know, I think that it's interesting because I think that also comes, you know, I'm trying to make that the intention of Ginger Beat. We went into the studio to make this EP. Frankly, we could have made an album. I've written like 15 songs. We performed 15 songs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's expensive. So initially we just did four. Initially, really financially, we did four.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons, and the purpose is to get us into festivals. I'm hoping that people who do things like more stuff on 4th Street in San Rafael or, you know, in San Anselmo, there's events that happen on the weekends in the summer in Sausalito and up in Santa Rosa and in the East Bay and the South Bay. And with the idea that people are coming together and of all ages and they get to hear universal messages, you know, that kind of thing. And I think it's also one of the challenges of sort of performing in Ginger Beat, and one of the reasons I really appreciate the people who are performing in the band, that they're playing so many genres of music. I mean, we just heard something, you know, the We'll Walk Someday has a little bit of kind of an Afro groove kind of sensibility. And then Santiago is more, you know, Latin. We've got bluegrass stuff. We've got blues. We've got... you know, these different genres. We have some funk. And so I want the sort of variety of music to convey the intention of the band. And for that reason, we brought together, you know, this group of really pretty highly qualified professional musicians who can do all that. And I'm very grateful to them. I'm very grateful for their flexibility and a willingness to kind of go with this rich program or confusing program, depending on what lens you see it through. And I'm hoping that the audience just is like, wow, that's another different thing. You know, that, yeah. And even myself, I play on that song, We'll Walk Someday, I'm playing an instrument called an octave mandolin, which to me has kind of a low pulsing flavor. It's a low resonating mandolin. Then I go to the trace, then I have guitar, then I have banjo. So I'm playing all over the map myself, and others have to do different things when we perform different styles, sometimes different instruments. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It definitely could never be boring. That's for sure. For you guys or for the people listening, either one.
Right.
Wow. We've only got like a little over 4 minutes left of the show. Can you believe it? And
nice.
You know,
I really appreciate the opportunity, Margot. Thank you so much. I'm glad you do this. You encourage people
welcome.
To live their music. And I hope everyone does that. Everyone, not, you know, everyone.
Yeah,
live
I hope
live
so
our
too.
Music. Yeah. Yeah.
Wayne Dyer had always said, don't die with your music still in you. And my friend Robert Berry had asked me, what does he do that you don't like? And I said, well, he says don't a lot. So I thought, how about live your music instead of don't die with your music still in you? Live your music, whatever that is, you know, whatever your heart says you're here on earth to do and to enjoy doing, and also to help create more happiness for people here on earth.
Right,
that's what it's about. You know, I asked Dudley, my husband Dudley, if he had a question for you, and he said, and I think you've kind of answered it a little bit already, where do you see your music taking you going forward? I thought that was an interesting question.
Yeah, I would love to combine music with dance and theater.
Hmm.
That's what I'd love. So I started this project, in my late 60s, and just a couple years ago. And I'm trying to get a lot done, you know, in this last chunk of, you know, the last maybe third of my life, you could say that, life maybe in thirds, you know, 0 to 30, 30 to 60, and 60 to 142. So,
I like that 60 to 142. That sounds good.
So actually, I really don't view it so much. I view this as a sort of multi-sensory experience. And what's interesting is I also see other people singing, as opposed to Arjun being the front person. That's fine, but I know who I am. I'm a 70-year-old guy up there. I like the idea of having a variety of people singing, having dancing, and having some kind of a theatrical kind of presence. That's where I want it to go. I want it to be composed music that others can perform. And in fact, a friend of mine who sings in a local choir, a chorus, is going to be presenting one of my songs for their chorus to perform. And I'm going to be writing it, scoring it in a traditional, classical way so that the chorus can perform it. It's being submitted in a few weeks. And I won't say the name of the chorus because I'm not sure if it's going to get in yet, but he'll try.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so the idea is that there'd be sort of some music that contributes to social well-being that is singable, danceable, and even presentable in a theatrical kind of experience. That's my goal. That's where I see it, where there's performers who are performing the music, and others are being uplifted, singing together, dancing together, and sharing in that expression together, bringing people together. That's what I want.
I love that. Well, we've got a little over a minute, about a minute and a half at the most left. So what's something really quick you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I think one of the intriguing things that I've been thinking about is the balance between happiness and challenges, grief. And I think that music approaches that as well, that happiness is the other side of sadness, and that if we can genuinely feel that and experience that, that we can live a nice balance in our lives and enjoy the challenges and enjoy the conquests and enjoy everything and realize that life has many aspects. And being with you, Margo, you're a person you very much encouraged sort of looking on the bright side. And I loved the idea of that and of kind of drawing some of the grist of the mill from the more challenging aspects as well, making our lives work.
Yeah, looking for what's good even in the things that are challenging and sad and not the way we wanted it to be. You know, to look for, what's good about this?
Or it's raining today, right now. It's raining right now, and I am loving it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Arjun, for being on my show, and thank you for all of the ways that you're living your music and encouraging and inspiring others to do it as well. I really appreciate that.
Very cool. Thank you. Great, great. Oh, and the EP is streaming on all the major platforms, so listen, find Gingerbeat. You'll be able to hear it.
Yeah, I got it on Spotify. It was really cool. All right, well, thank you again. And bye for now, everyone. Remember, live your music.